Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org.
Live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 in Birmingham, Alabama, it's Hour 2 of Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett on EWTN Radio.
I could get used to that. My name is in the introduction. I don't usually get a named introduction, but that's how classy they are here at EWTN. We're coming to you live, as that voice just told you, from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference, where you get to be with some of the best people in the world, people who have devoted their lives to sharing the message, the fullness of the good news of Jesus Christ and His Church on the airwaves. And there's hundreds of people that have heard that call. I got to hear some great witness stories from people about, you know, you just say to somebody, how'd you get involved in Catholic radio? And then, oh man, it comes out. They were in insurance or something, and they got a call from Jesus, and they started a station where they are, and maybe the second station or the third, and or maybe just that one. But they're answering the Great Commission to go and make disciples of the nations. That's why at Catholic Answers, we are never shy about saying, support your local Catholic radio station, your local Catholic radio network. And I feel it even more being here with these folks, that please support them. They're not billionaires. They're not making money out of this. They are struggling and scraping to share the word of God. So please keep that in mind. It's certainly on my mind here, getting to hear people's stories. We got a great hour for you this hour. Apparently they got Deacon Harold in here, and they decided they're just going to kill him by making him do everything. He did the big talk yesterday. Every time I walk by the booth today, he's on the air with somebody. I don't know. Is there Catholic radio without Deacon Harold Birksivers? Deacon Harold, thank you very much for being here with us.
No, it's great to be with you. And it's great to be actually with you, like sitting next to you doing
it. Makes me so happy.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Because again, we usually see each other via video. As a matter of fact, I knew you for years before I ever knew you. Like the time I met you, I had already met you probably 20 times before that.
Wow.
But when we first met in person, that was the first, you know, it's just a weird world that where you know people. And you have conversations with people, but you've never been in a room with them.
Yeah, that is weird. People say to me all the time, oh, I feel like I know you. I've seen you on EWTN for years. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is they do. I think that with you, they do know you because you're exactly the same. Whether you're on the camera, you don't get whether the microphone's on or not. You're the same guy. You're not one of those people that's different.
Yeah, I think the only thing that surprises people is how quiet I am.
Oh,
when
yes,
I'm not
I see.
Speaking or not on the air. They
right.
Say, you're so quiet. I remember one time I was driving, the guy picked me up at the airport, and I was just, I mean, because I was a monk, right? So people forget, like,
you got
you
that
know,
in you.
I've got that in me, and that beautiful and just interior silence. And the guy thought, oh, man, this guy's supposed to be like the dynamic deacon. He's kind of a dud. But the next day at the conference, it's like,
right.
He said, are you the same guy that I rode in the car with? I said, well, my personality speaking is not my actual, I mean,
no,
I'm there because I'm in love with my faith. I'm in love with Christ. Christ has called me to do this. I'm passionate about the faith. But my demeanor is not like that. They're a little surprised.
Well, the thing is, though, and this is probably part of what the power that you have is in sharing the good news is you have to have something to share. Like you have to, if you're not taking the time to spend with Jesus and to pray your prayers and to go to Mass and to be quiet and love the gifts He's given you, then what do you got to share?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it has to be something that's interiorized.
Yeah.
I mean, because one thing, you can't fake this. You just can't just go out there and just like cookie cutter. Like, I'm going to be speaking at a men's conference this weekend in Allentown, Pennsylvania. And so I'm going to be giving a talk that I gave at a men's conference several weeks ago. But it's going to be a different talk. Why? A different group of men. So I don't cookie cut the talks like, oh, okay, I'm going to say the exact same thing I said at this other conference because, I have to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants me to say to this group of men on this particular day, at this particular event, at this particular time.
Wow.
And so even though the talk is the same, I mean, there's times the Holy Spirit said, stay here or and skip just, this and go to the next thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have an outline, but I'm just letting the Holy Spirit work and let me know where to, and invariably, men will come up to me and say, Dad, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. Like, you just don't know. I was praying about this, and all of a sudden you said the exact same thing I was praying about. That's the Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Deacon Harold Birxiver is our guest. You should get him to speak wherever you are. I'll tell you what we're going to do for our topic this hour, roadblocks to conversion, because one of the things that you do help people to do is to be great evangelists, to be people who, you know, not just receive the faith, but share the faith. And so maybe start us off with a little bit about what are the kind of roadblocks to conversion we should be thinking about, or we should have in mind.
Yeah, so first of all, I just want to reiterate that to people, I'm not a convert, because people sometimes think, oh, you sound like a Protestant preacher. I was like, no, I sound like a Catholic who's in love with Jesus.
Praise God, Deacon.
So,
yeah,
so
that's
I've never been Protestant. In fact, I'm the first baptized Catholic in my family. My mom was the convert. I'm the oldest of the children, and so I was baptized about two weeks after I was born. And so so I've always been Catholic. So but I have been around the block a few times, and I've traveled around the world, and I hear these stumbling blocks, these roadblocks to people coming into the church. So for example, things like dogma, what the church teaches. The importance of Mary. Why did God put so much emphasis on Mary? She's just a woman. Well, she's not just any woman.
Yeah.
In fact, the scripture says in Luke's gospel, in the Magnificat, that all generations will call me blessed.
Yeah.
You know, so it's in the Bible. It's in the scriptures.
Yeah.
So we need to call it. But why? You know, but they don't hear the reasons. They just see us doing all these practices, carrying the statues of Mary around on our shoulders. And what are you doing? You're worshiping a statue. I can see what it looks like from the outside.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to sit down and say, well, no, here's why we do the things that we do as Catholics, especially with regard to Mary. Why do you have to go to confession to a priest?
Yep. Yeah,
you know, things like that. Like, yeah, I know you have to confess your sins. I mean, James chapter 1 and Leviticus chapter 5 are very clear that in order for sin to be forgiven, you have to confess the sins. But why do we need to go to the priest? Why can't I just pray straight to Jesus? You know, and often they're not hearing good answers from Catholics.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
They don't know their faith enough.
Right.
You know, so that's why things like Catholic Radio and Catholic Answers, EWTN, they're so important, because they're vehicles of evangelization in the lives of people looking for answers to questions about the faith or confusions about the faith. You know, things like rosaries and other sacramentals. Why do you need holy water? You know, why do you need rosaries? Like, what is all that stuff about? You know, all those Hail Marys. Again, worshiping Mary, all these Hail Marys. No. For example, what we're doing with the rosary, we're reflecting on the deepest mysteries of our faith, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, through the heart of His Blessed Mother. So that's what we're doing. You know, we're not, because everything is always directed to Jesus. In fact, Mary's last words, do whatever He tells you. Those are the last words she spoke in the scriptures. And so that's what we do. Everything is directed and pointing toward our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
That we're talking about roadblocks to conversion today with Deacon Harold Birxiver, the hardest working man at the Catholic Radio Conference, I can tell you that. And if you'd like to get in on this conversation, whether you yourself have an obstacle to conversion to the Catholic faith, or you're trying to help someone else over such an obstacle, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. You got more obstacles for us?
Sure. For example, the Eucharist. You eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life within you, in John chapter 6. But I said, well, that's just symbolic. He didn't really. How could? And they asked the same questions that the people following Jesus asked, disciples. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? That sounds like cannibalism. Well, here's the thing. In cannibalism, you eat the flesh of someone that's dead. Jesus is alive.
Right.
You know, it's not cannibalism. Jesus, we're eating the true living flesh and blood, sacramentally flesh and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, and if you look at the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, especially Luke 22:19, the language that Jesus uses is very clear. He's talking about his true flesh and his true blood, not a sign, not a symbol. But the reality that he's giving us life. Again, goes back to Leviticus chapter 17. The life of the flesh is the blood. I've given you the blood upon the altar to make atonement for your life. You know, blood makes atonement by reason of the life. So Jesus spilled his blood on the cross to give us life. You know, the altar of the cross. And so The blood used to defile you, but now, because of what Christ did for us as redemption on the cross, the blood no longer defiles you, the blood defines you. The blood of Christ defines you.
Oh, you know.
That's what we teach as Catholics. Also, come on, divorced and remarried. You know, people think, well, because I'm divorced, I can't be Catholic. No, not true. My mother and father were divorced. My father wasn't a person of faith at the time of divorce. My mom was a very devout Catholic. And she still participated fully in the life of the church. Divorce is not the issue. Divorce and remarriage is the issue. That's the thing. So my mom never, ever pursued another relationship. In fact, she kept her wedding ring on even after divorce. In fact, she died with it on.
Wow.
Because in her mind, she's still married, even though they're on paper legally divorced.
Right.
In her heart, they were still married. And so, so there's confusion about that in the life of the church as well.
We're talking about roadblocks to conversion. Have you got a roadblock to conversion that you would like to discuss with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers? If it's your own, you're very welcome. 888-318-7884. Maybe it's someone else that you'd like to help over a roadblock, and you'd like the help of Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers to do that. 888-318-7884. Got to take the first break. Right back with your questions for the deacon right after this.
There's more Catholic Answers Live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 on EWTN Radio.
Do you have a question but prefer to ask it privately? Catholic Questions can help. Go to CatholicQuestions.com to ask your question online, email us, drop us a letter, or give us a call. Longtime Catholic Answers Live apologist and author Jim Blackburn or another Catholic Questions apologist will be happy to assist you. Catholic Questions proudly supports Catholic Answers Live, so visit us at CatholicQuestions.com today. That's CatholicQuestions.com.
Catechism in a Year with me, Father Mike Schmitz, is now available right here on Catholic Radio. Encounter God's plan of sheer goodness for us, revealed in Scripture and passed down through the tradition of the Catholic faith, as we journey together toward our heavenly home.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz, tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, on EWTN Radio.
Let's return to Catholic Answers with Cy Kellett, live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 on EWTN Radio.
Where it's almost dinner time. I know, because the hall is filling up with people getting ready to go to dinner. And I have to say, our guest, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, is very generous to us, because he's going to start his dinner a half hour late because of us. Thank you very much.
So are you, though.
Well, yes, but it's my job. I got to do it. Like you said, yes. I was already hired years ago. But you agreed to be the guy to take things. So thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
I'll tell you what. We'll go to some calls. We're talking about roadblocks to conversion, a topic I know that many people want to talk about. You have something that's sticking in your craw that's keep you from coming into the Catholic Church. You're welcome to call. Or maybe you want to help somebody else get something out that's sticking in their craw. 888-318-7884. Our guest is Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Our topic is roadblocks to conversion, and our first caller is in Colorado, Nancy, watching on Facebook in Colorado. Thanks for being here, Nancy. Go ahead with your question for Deacon Harold.
Thank you. I guess it's not more so a question, but a comment. I was born Catholic, and within my life, we constantly had to follow everything in the Catholic Church. However, I kept on always seeing something that didn't model what we were supposed to be doing. In those cases, those are actual roadblocks that pushes us away. Because of that, it really pushed me completely away from the Catholic Church, and where I totally didn't believe any of their practices. And it wasn't until I myself understood how small I was in this world that I came to understand the Catholic Church does have the information and the truth. It's not more so that we have to follow the people, but more the message. And that's something that a lot of us tend to not understand, especially when within our desperation. And we take the influences that we see, and it's something that really tends to push us away when we see those influences not match to the message that we're receiving. Does that make sense?
Deacon?
Oh, that makes absolute sense. You hit on some very, very important points that we have to focus on the teaching of the church, not the people. So, for example, you know, I've talked on Catholic Answers before about Father Augustus Tolton, who was the first black priest in the United States. So when he was growing up in the church, he faced extreme racism within the church. So the church is supposed to be following Jesus Christ and the gospel, but instead they're following the laws of the United States that discriminates against people simply because they're a different color and a different race. You know, and so he stayed in the church because even before he was ordained and even after he was ordained as a priest, he still experienced extreme racism. Again, the church living in contradiction to how she's supposed to be living the teachings of Jesus Christ and her own teaching at the church. And Pope after Pope came out with documents against, strongly, vehemently against slavery. But yet the bishops and priests and others, Catholics here in the United States, decided to follow their own way of doing things instead of following the church. So you're right. Or I met someone who had an abortion, you know, who was not a Catholic, not a person of faith, and they bought into the culture, they bought into the life, Planned Parenthood, and all of that. And when they finally came to faith, they recognized, oh my goodness, I really understand what I did. They come into church, they go to confession, and when people find out what they did, they're met with anger.
Oh yeah,
you know, I mean,
yeah.
Look, God has forgiven this person. They didn't get it. Now they get it. They've turned their lives around.
Right.
And but yet they're still met with incredulity by Catholics when they come into church. And finally, I want to say this, Nancy, my own father. So my father had a massive conversion experience, which was the icing on the cake was actually the first time I saw my father at Mass was in Portland, Oregon, in my own parish. On Father's Day in 2009. It was the first time I ever saw my father in church. So my father thinks that the way he was greeted in my parish was the way that all Catholic parishes are. He goes back home to New Jersey. He goes into a Catholic church thinking that people are going to greet me warmly, and no one said anything to him.
Yeah.
No, he said, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because he
right.
got all to, and so yes, sometimes we're our own worst enemy.
Yep.
In the church.
Yeah.
You know, so I totally agree with you, Nancy. We need to have the mind and the heart of Christ and live according to the tenets of Christ and the church if we are to be effective in helping people overcome obstacles.
Nancy, I want to come back to you because I think that's actually one that we all need to hear more of, that it's often the obstacle, the roadblock to other people is us. Did you want to respond to what the deacon said?
Yes, I actually wanted to add something. My father, he actually was, let me get the actual name of it. He worked for the Grand Diocese of Grand Island. His name is Eulogio Olivo. He was the Hispanic ministry, the director of the Hispanic ministry. And because he was working very hardly in the year of 2005-2006 for the Hispanics and the illegals back in Nebraska, he actually got fired from that job because of it. Sadly, my father passed away in the year of 2020, but his dream was always to become a deacon, and he never really got that chance to get there. But my father was a tremendous, intelligent, and very passionate Catholic that really fought for his faith like no other. However, it was something that was really hard for me to see and understand and see his passion and then see how the church really just put him down, especially when it came to the whole immigration situation, which, you know, at that time we had thought, hey, you know, we're supposed to help and fight for these people that need the help, you know, and in fact, it was just totally the contrary because I guess he got too involved into that, and that was something that they didn't want to get into themselves.
Nancy, I'm sorry about that. I, if I could just draw out of what you just said, I do. This is one. This is a moment in history where, if somebody who seems, you know, to be an immigrant comes into the church, that we as Catholics absolutely must be welcoming, loving, affirming, because that person's coming to Mass. That person, this is not a place for politics or whatever else.
Right.
And so I'm glad that you brought that up, because there's just not, I mean, I think of Father Tolton, you know, how many of us would have been in Father Tolton's corner, you know, in the time when he was struggling against racism in the churches. So we got to turn a blind eye to that stuff. And I mean, I don't know anything about your father's situation. I will certainly, I hope and pray that he has completed his journey and is home with the Father now. But we've got to be so careful not to be caught up in whatever the issue of the moment is, that we don't see the person right in front of us, Nancy.
Well,
so thanks.
I just want to say this. I just want to say this too, as an immigrant. You know, your dad maybe didn't become a deacon, but the word diakonia in Greek means servant. So he tried his best to serve the church in the way that he saw best, helping people like me who are immigrants to the United States. And so even though he wasn't ordained a deacon, right, he was doing the work of the Lord and serving the people that all people made in God's image and likeness. So I think that's a beautiful thing that you can take to heart.
And now the person standing in front of us is Dr. Ray Grundy. Did you come over here to bother Deacon Harold Birksiver?
You know what the difference is? You see how sensitive he sounds? If anybody looked at him, the guy's a bear. He could probably bench 400 pounds, and yet he's got this toxic sensitivity to him.
The last word I would associate with Deacon Harold is toxic. But by the way, I recommended your book to somebody who was talking about toxic people the first hour. Dr. Ray came to our conference a few weeks ago, and he—it was not a home run; it was a grand slam. He just blew the doors off, and he talked about Jesus, the master psychologist, and it was beautiful. You did a great job, and I think you have a future in comedy as well. You were very frighteningly funny.
There's some Catholics doing comedy now. Jennifer Fulweiler, is doing comedy.
You didn't
now,
see the teleprompter back there.
What? No, I missed the teleprompter. This is what happens at the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference, is you meet the most wonderful people. Just it's almost like saint after saint after saint. Dr. Ray Grundy, another saint. It's beautiful. What happens here? Can we take a call? Or
I think the love has gone out of our relationship.
Not on my part. All right. Again, the number is 888-318-7884. I've lost track of the clock. I don't even know what time it is. Ray Grundy throws me out. All right, we got time to take another call. Let's go to Michael in Lane, Minnesota, watching on YouTube. Oh, excuse me. I beg your pardon. Mitchell in Lane, Minnesota, watching on YouTube. Mitchell, you are very welcome here. Go ahead with your question for for Deacon Harold Birksiver. He threw me off, Dr. Ray. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Okay, so the question that I had is that I have a fair amount of Protestant friends, and I am a newly Catholic, probably like 4 months. I've been fascinated for years.
Well, welcome home, brother.
But one of the things that I've just been seeing a lot of is like Protestant friends coming at Catholics saying, they're not saved. But then I've also seen it on the internet where Catholics are saying that, Protestants aren't saved. And I guess what I was wondering about is just what are some of the, like, good ideas of commonalities or things that we have in common that we can build up and have a stronger relationship in Christ together versus being so divisive.
Thank you, Mitch. That's a great question. So one thing that's a tenet of Protestantism is that you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I think that's a great starting point for us, because we also believe the same thing. You know, unfortunately, our Protestant brothers and sisters think that we sacrifice personal relationship for sacramentalism, that we have rules and commandments and moral codes and catechisms, and those prevent us from having a personal relationship with Jesus. Nothing can be further from the truth. The whole thing about the sacramental life of the church is that we're drawn into deeper intimacy with Jesus Christ. So actually receiving the sacraments help us to move us more deeply in more deeply to Christ, who moves us closer to the heart of the Father, who gives us more of the Holy Spirit, who moves us deeper into relationship with Christ. So it's a relationship of deepening love and intimacy. I think that's a great place to start. You know, because we can both agree on that personal relationship with Jesus and then build from there. You know, and then what I could do is ask questions. Like you said, well, you know, you're not saved, you know, or it says faith alone. Oh, okay, well, show me where the Bible says faith alone, because I'm, you know, I'm trying to find common knowledge. I want to agree with you. I want us to, you know, to continue to talk. But show me where it says, I can see where it says faith, but where does it say faith alone? And then you can show him James, which says the only place where there is faith alone together, it says you are saved by works and not by faith alone. So what do we do with a verse like that? Just ask questions. You know, you're not arguing. You're not just, you know, I'm just trying to understand. And one of the ways we do that is what's called, Mitchell, the Socratic method, where we just ask questions in order to go deeper into relationship with people we disagree with. And I think that's a very, easy way to be able to enter into dialogue without polemics or triumphalism or anger.
Mitchell, I want to come back to you. So will you hang on through the break? The music's playing. But I want to come back to you because you're a new Catholic, and I want to get your response to Deacon Harold's answer right after this on Catholic Answers Live. When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
Our Lord needs articulate defenders of the truth to spread the joy of the Catholic faith. Catholic Answers Monthly Giving Club, Society 315, helps you fulfill the call in 1 Peter 3:15 to always be prepared to make a defense for the hope that is in you. For as little as $10 a month, you'll help Catholics grow in faith, bring lapsed Catholics home, and lead non-Catholics to the truth. Go to casociety315.com and join today.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun. And that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Mitchell in Minnesota is our guest on, or excuse me, is our caller on the line for our guest, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And you're new to the Catholic faith, and your question had to do with finding commonalities. Where can we begin to build those relationships on commonalities with Protestants? So what did you think of the answer you got?
Oh, I thought it was a very good, I like the answer. And I have heard, you know, the by faith alone or sola scriptura. I have heard that, and I agree with that argument. And also just using the Socratic method, asking why questions. You know, yeah, I like that.
But the thing is, though, I thought that you started with personal relationship, and that's the part I think. I guess I'm going to call you on that, Mitchell. You don't skip
that
over the person because none of the rest of that happens absent a personal relationship. If that person, if you don't really care about that person, and they can sense that, or they don't get the sense that you care about them. I think everything is the effectiveness. I mean, God can use anything, even in imperfect vessels, but when we really care about the other person, I found that very helpful. I'd like to send you a couple books. First of all, I want to send you Why We're Catholic, and then we have a book called A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist. The first one there is by Trent Horn, the second one by Jimmy Akin. But you're new to the Catholic faith, and welcome home, brother, and I think those books will help you in those conversations. The number here is 888-318-7884. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is our guest, and if you have questions about removing roadblocks to conversion, you are welcome to call. John is in Oklahoma listening to Sirius XM, Channel 130, Sirius XM satellite radio. That's EWTN on Sirius Radio. Go ahead, John, with your question for Deacon Harold.
All right. Before I do, I got to say, Cy, I like the other entry better. It gave you the respect you finally deserved.
When they named me, right? When they used my name.
Yes, I'm
telling you, they are high-class people here at EWTN. High-class people. Thank you very much for noticing, John.
When I found out that Deacon Burke was on, I'll be honest, I fanboyed. I'm 49 years old, and I've fanboyed a little bit.
Good for you.
You know. And I got to ask you, Deacon, do you still have your rosary that's made out of ammunition?
I do, but Homeland Security kind of cracked down on it, so I don't take it with me on the road like I used to. But I definitely still have that rosary. In fact, I use it at home. When I pray the rosary at home, I use it all the time when I do my rosary. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
If that was your question, that was the easiest. I mean, it's a yes or no question. I know you've got something more for Deacon Harrell.
I do. I've called a couple times, so yes. I'm not a confirmed Catholic yet. I will not be till Easter Vigil. Okay. But I have had the strong calling to be a deacon in the church. Okay. And when I was a Protestant, I went off to Bible college. Didn't feel quite right. Just something felt off, and I left Bible college when I was a Protestant. Didn't look at it again until God just said, hey, you need to shut up and listen to what I'm telling you. The Catholic Church is where you need to be, and you're going to be a deacon in my church. And my question is, how do I prepare for this? Because I know it's a life-changing event for somebody, but, you know, how can I mentally prepare myself, because I've already started looking at Francis of Assisi, reading on him, also St. Stephen, and it's like, where else can I go to start preparing for this?
Okay. Well, yeah, a couple things. So obviously, whatever diocese you're in probably has a diaconate program. And so obviously, they wouldn't consider you until after you received all the sacraments of initiation. But then after that, you know, there's a I would call your vocations director or the person who's in charge of the diaconate program and say, hey, I think, you know, God might be calling me to be a deacon. It's also, I wrote a book called Our Life of Service, the Handbook for Catholic Deacons, which is actually being used in several dioceses as part of the formation program for deacons. So I would get a hold of that book and take a look at that, because there's discussions you need to have with your priest and with, if you're married, with your wife, you know, because this is a decision that you both have to agree that God is calling, that you believe that God is calling you to this life of service. Because if you're married, what the church is discerning is that you feel that God is calling you to serve the church. So the church is also saying, we want to know if we're going to discern if this man is called. We recognize that he's serving well in his family. Is God calling him to take those gifts of service and apply them to the church, to the lived experience of the church? So that's what the you're discerning, and the church is also discerning you, right? So so you want to make sure you're having a very open and clear discussion with your spouse, to get in contact with your pastor at the parish where you're going to be coming into the church. And also, after talking with your pastor and your wife, you know, and the vocations director, and get a hold of my book as well.
Thank you very much, John. I almost said Deacon John. Well, that's weird, huh? But thank you very much, John. I'm still not recovered from Ray Guarendi coming over here. There's things I was supposed to get done that I didn't get done. So I'm going to read this little notice, and then we will go back to the calls. But that's what Ray Guarendi does. He throws me off. Join us for a special edition of The World Over tonight as Raymond Arroyo talks with presidential candidate and former president Donald Trump. The World Over at a special time tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern only on EWTN Radio. Our guest this hour, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Our topic, roadblocks to conversion. If you've got roadblocks in your way or maybe in the way of a loved one and you'd like some help with those roadblocks, 888-318-7884 is the number. Going to Washington now. Erica, listening on 88.3 FM in Washington. You are very welcome here, Erica. Go ahead with your question.
Thank you. So my roadblock would be, first off, I didn't really grow up Catholic. I was a little familiar with it from home. And I was sent down to the street to go to a Pentecostal church. It wasn't until my son was born and until I taught him the Catholicism, the diocese. My son was an altar boy, and he spoke Latin, helped at the traditional Latin mass. And so it was him who helped teach me more the reason why I learned about the diocese and Catholicism and whatnot. And,
okay.
So something happened with the priest. I felt we were betrayed. My son, okay. he was deceased. He died at a very young age. And when I told the priest about it, we were more of a mockery. He smirked and smiled. And I wanted to hit him so bad because of how much pain I was in and how surprised I was at the betrayal of the smirk on his face. And I believe that we were part of some kind of a humiliation or mockery to whatever was going on. Yeah. And it didn't turn me from my Catholicism. It didn't turn me from my belief, though it would probably do that to anybody, considering the circumstance in depth that I couldn't really elaborate on radio. But the stumbling block would be to trust. And first off, let me go backward here. After the fact that I had went to him to cry and to ask for help, and the smirk and the amusement that he had on his face, I wanted to hit him, and I told him that. I went back, and because God always speaks to us. It says when you pray, you're speaking to God, and when you read holy things and religious books, God speaks to you. So I read something, and sure enough, it did. It said, he spoke to me, and he says, do not lay a hand on God's servant, for God will deal with him in his time. And
oh, yeah.
I guess it would be trust, you know, the stumbling block would be trusting again a priest, being able
yes.
to go to one in confession or with any concern at all.
Okay.
That would be my stumbling block.
Okay. First of all, I'm so sorry for the loss of your son.
Yes.
And I don't want to neglect to say that. But Deacon Harold?
What a horrific experience. The death. First of all, I have children, and no parent can ever imagine the death of their child, because the children are supposed to outlive us. That's how it's supposed to be. So the loss of your child is devastating, a devastating loss. And then to go to a priest for help, for counsel, for support, only to have him
serve with.
That's right. It's on the altar, and just have him smirk. I mean, that's just. That hurt my heart to hear that. But you have to understand, Erica, that's one priest, right? That's one priest.
It was two.
But all priests. Oh, two priests. Okay. But all priests
it
are
was
not
one
like.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say all priests are not like that. You know, so what happens, we have a bad experience. It's just, you know, it's infidelity. It's almost like a spouse cheating on you, right? I mean, how do you recover from something like that? How do you begin to trust that person again? You know, they violated this relationship. And how do you begin to trust a person again? It's the same thing, the situation in the sense that you're in. How do you trust these priests again? But it's not those particular priests, you know, but I've met many priests who are wonderful fathers to their parish families, you know. So in your case, I would, you know, try to head to another parish, talk with another priest, maybe who has a loving heart of Christ, and really meet Christ in that priest to help you with dealing with the loss of your son and your grief and your anger over the situation with these other priests. So again, we have to follow the teachings of the church and not the individual peoples who sometimes don't live up to the level of what they're supposed to be teaching. They're supposed to be exemplars and examples of what they're teaching. And sometimes even priests fail, just like all human beings do. So
what a magnificent witness for Erica to say, though, about that it's not about people, it's about the church. And what an extraordinary thing to come through. She hasn't lost her faith. She's just
really
lost her trust in priests, which is so horrifying.
That shows you how strong she is.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
A lot of people would have walked away and said, forget
right.
this.
Yeah,
I
right.
think I know people. In fact, I met a couple where the woman was coming back to church after a long time away because she went to marry a Lutheran. And the guy was open to being married in a Catholic church. Whatever he needed to do to get married in a Catholic church, he's willing to do that. But the priest said, why are you marrying a Lutheran? I mean, and they're standing right there.
Wow.
And she's like, well, wait a minute. He's willing to come in. He's willing to follow the rules. And he's willing. Yeah. But the priest was so obstinate. She goes, forget it. She left him and got married and became Lutheran.
Erica, I'll tell you what. I don't know how much more help we can be, but I would like to send you a book, a beautiful book that I love by our friend, Father Sebastian Walsh. It's called Secrets from Heaven. And it's about the parables and sayings of Jesus. Beautiful reflections. And I'm just because I love the book. And I know that you've been badly hurt. And I want to share something beautiful with you. And I do believe that book is beautiful. If there's some other way we can be helpful, you can always shoot us an email at radio@catholic.com, and maybe there's another priest we could help you talk with.
Yes.
or something along those lines. I would like to be helpful to you, Erica. It's a horrible, really shocking story.
Yes.
But we have to go to the break. So write us at radio@catholic.com if you'd like. Please just give us an address and we'll send you Secrets from Heaven. We'll be right back with more Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the biggest mistakes a Christian can make is to try to do good without God's help. Saint Therese said, when we trust only ourselves and not God, our soul becomes incapable of virtue. Her remedy? Works of charity. And the greatest work of charity is to share the gospel. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we encourage you to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Jesus. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. StreetEvangelization.com.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Oh my, you know what? She was put in the right place at the right time with the right people, and it just exploded from there. Thank God. I listen to EWTN, and you guys are on my radio on my phone 18 hours out of 24, and the TV is off.
I just love your program. I wanted to tell you guys that Catholic radio is just the greatest thing in my life.
Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett continues from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 on EWTN Radio.
I just love the sound of my own name. I'm sorry. I just love the sound of my own name. Sitting here with the great Tom Price handling things for us, and as he does for so many people here who are in any way affiliated with EWTN, one of those backbones, one of those bones in the backbone of EWTN, Tom Price, and also with Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, our guest for this hour. Roadblocks to Conversion is our topic, and and I don't know where we're going. I think I'm going to Grayson in Castle Rock, Colorado, listening on Twitch. Is there a Grayson there? Have I done the right thing?
Yeah,
Grayson?
How's it going?
Oh, very good. I didn't know. I'm sorry. I got a little confused for a minute, but go ahead with your question for Deacon.
So I have been blessed to have a very theological friend group of Christians that I just naturally, I guess, attach myself to. And three of my best friends are all the sons of pastors, and they're going to school at, you know, GCU, a Christian college, and they're studying youth ministries. And I've had a lot of time and experience with them, and we've had a lot of theological discussions. about, I guess, you know, apologetic questions, whether it's Catholic, Protestant differences. And I have some friends that I spent a month with up in Estes Park with no phone, being a camp counselor, and I was the only Catholic counselor among many Protestant friends. And they had a lot of interest in Catholicism, but I noticed a lot of defense when it comes to, you know, chipping away at core principles, is that they've built their whole life on studying at, you know, a Christian college. Their dad built lives before them, being a pastor, and has job opportunities for them set up. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm impatient when it's like, why can't my friends just be a Catholic now? I've convinced you enough, haven't I? But I'm wondering, how can I humbly walk with them more so, and what's a better approach, you know, rather than aggressive natures and stuff, but to understand their position and take a slower walk? They have so much on the line and such a stake that it's hard for them to, I guess, just throw away.
All right, Grayson, thank you.
Yeah, great question. So first of all, I want to say the first time I ever went to Colorado was to Estes Park, actually to do a confirmation retreat there many, many years ago, before I started speaking full time. But first of all, I think walking with your friends, you know, we say things, Grace, like meeting people where they are. I think the fact that you're willing to sit down and have discussions with your Protestant friends is a wonderful thing. But the thing above all else is your personal witness. I mean, you can say, here's what the church teaches about this, this, and this. But if you're not living the faith, if you're not in love with Jesus, if he's not the focus and the center of your life, and they see that every decision you make, the way you're living the life, the way you present yourselves to others, the way you witness to others, you can't fake that. I mean, you can have all the intellectual discussions you want, but unless you own your faith and they can see that you have a deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that's going to continue to have them be open to continue to talk to you, because they see it's not fake. And they often think, well, Catholics don't have faith like this because this is what we're told. But so that personal witness is extremely important. And then continue to have the discussions. I talked about before about the Socratic method, where they're learning things like, you know, faith alone and things like that, or John chapter 6. Just ask questions. You know, I say, I know you're, you know, and just, you know, be very respectful. You know, I know you're in college, you're learning these things, you know, but what did they teach you guys about John chapter 6 when Jesus says this, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you? What do you guys make of that? Like, how do you think? And just ask them. Again, you're not attacking. It's not polemics. You're not trying to show how smart you are or why the Catholic Church is right, because it's not about right or wrong. It's ultimately, it's about what's true and what's not true, ultimately. But to get there, you just want to explore. You just want to say, well, what do they say about this? And I say that because you hear Scott Hahn's conversion story. When he was teaching John, the Gospel of John, he skipped over John 6. at first, he skipped over John 6 because he understood Greek. He knew what was saying. He didn't want to deal with it, so he skipped over it. And so he went back to his mentor and his professor, asking about John chapter 6. He didn't get good answers, and so it's things like that led him to probe deeper into his faith, and ultimately went to Mass and saw the connection between the scriptures and what was happening at Mass, and that was one of the things that led him into the Catholic Church. So again, you're not trying to convert your friends. That's not the goal. The goal is, how do I get my friends to want to listen to more of what I have to say? It's not about winning arguments. It's about continuing the discussion of deepening intimacy with the Lord to get to the truth, which is not a philosophy, it's not a construct, it's not a doctrine. Truth is Jesus Christ, right? John 14:6, the way, the truth, and the life. Ultimately, that's what you want to get to. Does that make sense, Grayson?
Yeah, I think that during that camp, I had the most convincing arguments, or not arguments, but conversations I had was about baptism and the Eucharist, and it boiled down to my personal relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
That, you know, they were most attracted to, and that was appealing to them. And then I guess my last question is, how do I you know, they, when I make the claim of, you know, the one true holy Catholic Church, they've seen it all, or there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church. And I know how to, I guess, make those claims feel a little smaller than them, but how can I guess, humble those claims in a sense to,
yeah,
so they don't see me as, you know, the only right guy, or, oh, you guys are so cocky to have this claim or this papal infallibility, like those claims. What are the best approaches to those?
Yeah, so for example, well, you take one at a time, right? So no salvation outside the church. Jesus came to found the church, right? In Matthew 16:18, he says to Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And in Matthew, a few chapters later, in Matthew 18, says, if you have something against your brother, work it out amongst yourselves. If that doesn't work, bring it a couple witnesses. If that doesn't work, take it to the church. And if they don't listen to the church, not a church, the church, then treat them like a tax collector or a Gentile. Now, Jesus uses the word ecclesia, the word for church. What church is he talking about? Well, they say the Christian church. Okay, what did the Christian church teach? Right? So you have to look at Acts of the Apostles. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul says that they celebrated the Eucharist. I'm very clear. You look at what the fathers of the church, what they taught, especially the early church fathers, like St. Ignatius of Antioch, St. Polycarp of Smyrna, these who would have direct encounters with the apostles themselves. What did they get from the apostles? What did they teach? Right? And so it's building a relationship of understanding. And so with no salvation outside the church, so you have to establish what is this church that Jesus was talking about. Then you should look at Lumen Gentium, the Second Vatican Council document on the church, where it talks about this specifically. So what do they mean by no salvation? Because it sounds to them like they're saying, well, unless you're Catholic, you can't go to heaven. That's not what the church teaches. Okay? So what the church is saying, that Jesus came to found the church. That church is the Catholic Church. But if through no fault of your own, you don't come to know that Jesus Christ founded the church, and it's the Catholic Church, and that's the main road to salvation. If you, through no fault of your own, if you don't come to know and understand that, but you live according to the natural moral law to the best of your ability. So you live according to the tenets and the dictates of natural law. Then God will give you, God will grant opportunity for you to be saved. Which will probably happen after you die, because when you die, you're going to see Jesus. You're not going to see anybody else but the Lord at the moment of your death. And at that point, they will understand the fullness of truth, who is Jesus Christ, and he will give them the opportunity to be saved. So it's not just straightforward. If you're not Catholic, you're going to hell. Actually, that's Calvinist, right? If Calvinists teach that through predestination, that some people were born to go to hell. Yikes, that's not a Catholic teaching at all. So it's just nuancing and having them understand that what they think what the church teaches is not what the church teaches. So you have to learn those subtleties yourself so you can explain it to your friends. Does that make sense, Grayson?
Yeah, very much so.
I'll tell you what, maybe we could help you with that. I'd be happy to send you a couple books. I always think if you're trying to get a general mastery of things, Jimmy Akin's book, A Daily Defense, 365 Days Plus One to Becoming a Better Apologist, is a great one, because it's 366 challenges, basically, to the Catholic faith with just a brief one-page answer to each one of them. So I'd love to send you that. And then maybe The Early Church is the Catholic Church, Joe Heschmeyer's book. If you just hang on the line, we will send those to you. We are coming near to the end of our program, so I want to make sure that I thank you, Deacon. Can you have a day off or something after all they've put you through here at the radio conference? Or?
Well, I've got an early flight tomorrow to Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yeah,
Allentown. The men's conference there.
Right,
and then
right.
I'm home for a few days. And I go to Michigan and into New Jersey and, you know, and yeah.
It's the life you chose.
Yes, it is.
You said yes.
What I do is like a musician on tour.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You know, you go to one thing. And this is what God wants, you know, that personal, because we're incarnational church. Yeah. I can't sit behind a computer and look at a screen all day and try to interact with it. Some people that do that, great. You know, Pints with Aquinas, you know, or Lila Rose's Pint, fantastic. But that's not me.
You got to be out there.
I got to be with people, you know, because ultimately we, you know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So.
Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, the dynamic deacon, you can find him online. Could we have your blessing before we go, Deacon?
Sure. May Almighty God bless you, keep you, and protect you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And that will do it for us. A great thank you to Tom Price and for everybody here at EWTN for making our life very easy and allowing us to get to do this live broadcast from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference. I'll tell you, if you want to be fired up, hang out with Catholic Radio people. It really is inspiring. And that'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.